say, hey, I'm concerned, and this is the reason for my gripe. Just don't feign anything other than pure objectivity, and I think we'll get along fairly well as far as the program itself continues. Again, one specific note for anybody who is involved in trying to contact a relative down in Guyana, this whole area of not being able to get through or not being allowed to talk has come up. We have all reached an amicable solution on that. The people who are anti and the people who are pro have all agreed to this, so there's no problem. If you are in that category and somehow have not dropped me a note, drop me a note. I will turn it over to Charles Gary within the next week, and I will have a case-by-case accounting. And his promise, along with the promise of Marcy Jones, the Reverend Jim Jones's wife, and Jim McElvain, associate pastor of the People's Temple, and each person will have the calls answered to their satisfaction. Let's go to the phones. Marin County, Ron Owens and TGO. Good evening. Line 4, you there? All right, line 4 is not there. How about line 5? Let's try that one. Line 5 in the East Bay, Ron Owens, it's your turn.
Hi.
Hello there.
Ron, my name is Kay.
Yes, Kay.
No. I'd like to direct this question to someone other than Marcy Jones.
All right.
Okay, I'm interested to know what it is that the senior citizens do over there, what kind of work they do.
I can address that question. There are all kinds of things for seniors to do. I was there last summer, and Mrs. Jones has been there since then, but even in the time that I was there, there's just a tremendous number of things for the seniors. They have, besides having excellent medical care, they have activities which include making dolls. There's some beautiful dolls being manufactured. There's small replicas of tables and chairs for dollhouses for children. They're making toys. They're any number of things. There's an excellent education program for seniors. Whether or not a person has ever learned to read and write, we're able to. We have classes in any number of things. So the seniors are given due respect and are allowed to teach and also to learn, exchange with ideas with young people. Marcy, would you have anything to add to that as far as the...
Well, I think you said anybody but Marcy. I don't know why she singled you out, but anybody but you.
I can only say that, first of all, I want everyone to know that the senior citizens don't have to do anything, but they want to be actively involved in the community that's being built there. And they're also used as consultants in areas that they have developed expertise, and they teach a lot of our young people how to do many things.
Let me bring it a little closer to home for any one of you to answer, if I can. We got into a little discussion during the last hour about whether the People's Temple was a religious organization or whether it was a social group trying to get social gains here in the United States. Protestations to the contrary, I look upon the People's Temple, I mean, as being different from, let's say, any other religious group because of its social emphasis. And based on that, how much social accomplishment can really be done now that, for all intents and purposes, it's shifted its focus to Guyana? I mean, what you're doing is you're chopping off the head of the People's Temple movement. The Reverend Jim Jones is no longer in the Bay Area. He is down in Guyana. So what's going to happen to the movement itself? And is that not, in essence, almost a signal as if to say, well, fine, we've abandoned the U.S. and we're going to do all we can in Guyana?
Well, I'll start off by saying that the movement, so to speak, is a humanitarian movement. And the principles that have been founded or laid down by the Reverend Jim Jones are universal. And by that I mean, I'm trying to say, the Reverend Jones could be in Guyana, and the humanitarian effort will go on here.
Well, it will go on, but the impression that I have gotten from the People's Temple, both from people opposed to it and in favor of it, though, is that in order to gain the membership, and this is common in any group, be it religious, be it humanitarian, whatever, in order to gain the membership, one of the things that got people into the People's Temple was the magnetism of Jim Jones. Apparently, this man has an amazing ability to motivate people.
Well, the thing that attracted me to the temple was the fact that his teachings relative to animals, to plants, to other human beings, to myself, was a motivating factor, and not so much the fact that he was had any type of charismatic pull.
But that charismatic pull is something I hear about, as I said before, from both supporters and detractors of the temple itself. They say, I mean, look at the people. Let's look at it from the standpoint of the detractors, all right? Let's say I've got a family member that's in Guyana, and I claim that I want to talk to that person, and I can't, or whatever. For that family member to have wound up in Guyana to begin with, there had to be some kind of a good job done somewhere along the line. And usually, the fingers pointed towards Jim Jones. The man has an ability to motivate people to act. He's got concepts that he is able to sell to people, and as a result, they follow. Now Jim Jones is in Guyana. Here we are in the Bay Area. What happened?
I'd like to address just part of that, Ron.
Everybody wants to address
a
part of it, so go ahead.
It's a big question, but I'd like to, and it's a cynical, it's a kind of a cynical time we live in, and I don't know how many people would even receive the idea that I'm going to throw out, but I think that Jim has the ability to call up really the highest in people. It's by virtue of his own example, which Mrs. Jones went into earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And by virtue of his example, the kind of life he leads, it's a very strong motivation to want to incorporate those principles into one's own life.
But if you can't even pick up a telephone and call Guyana right now, then what kind of an example is he providing right now? Granted, he's living down in Guyana. Granted, he is living like other people are living down there. But by the same token, you were talking before, I think Marcy was mentioning this before, you were talking about social changes that hopefully would evolve in our own country. Now, how's that going to happen with him down in Guyana?
Well, I think, as she said, the example of his life will make others of us
here.
Keep on working for social change. We still have many, many members here in the United States and many, many in California.
And many programs still going on.
Mm-hmm. So this is a very active church, and Jim Jones is not gone forever.
It's a church of free thinkers. If I was going to categorize the element that continues People's Temple moving while Jim Jones is in Guyana, is that there are many, many very highly educated people that at one time had the same idea that Jim has, perhaps without the ability to live the example that Jim lived, to bring about the same vision or the same idea into manifestation. And once the example has been seen, it's a simple matter to maintain caring for another human being when you see that you can do it and not be laughed at. I remember growing up when I was trying to be overly friendly, I was considered overly friendly because I was friendly to people, and I remember being laughed at it and being ashamed because I wasn't, quote, like everybody else. What was the matter with me? It was that you're supposed to do other people before they do you. That kind of a syndrome that is very rampant sometimes in this country. And I found out that it doesn't have to really be that way. You can care for other people and be your brother's keeper and it not be something to be ashamed of. Working with others to bring about a better life for those disadvantaged people for some reason unable to make it in this system, to be a part of seeing someone have a feeling of worth about themselves is a very good feeling to have.
One other question in that area, then we'll do a cluster and take some more calls if we can. And I'm going to try and frame this as best I can, but I obviously the People's Temple, I mean, from what you said, Marcy, has been embroiled in controversy from its beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
But the controversy really has gotten bigger and bigger. I mean, again, we're not talking about further up north in California. We're talking about the fifth major market in the United States when we talk about the Bay Area. And as a result of that, the press has been much, much more vocal. I think the mention was made, what is it, six consecutive Sundays or something, articles in the Sunday paper on the People's Temple. And as a result of that, there would be those who would say, well, now, wait a minute. All of a sudden, it really looks like things are getting super hot right now. I mean, now the controversy is really almost on everybody's mind and on everybody's lips. Now Jim Jones is in Guyana. Are there people within the People's Temple themselves that somehow feel, well, now he's kind of dodged it or he's gone away from it? Now it's hit the fan and he's not here.
No, absolutely not.
As a matter of fact, they voted that he should stay there.
They voted that he should stay in Guyana.
And help build the project there.
You want to point the mic over there because she hasn't said anything at all and she wants to talk, so let's go do it.
Having been a member of People's Temple for some 9 years, nothing could take away the humanitarian efforts that Jim Jones has presented and the example that he has given people. That's the reason why I'm still working there.
I'd also like to say you talked about charisma being the ingredient that made people follow Jim Jones. And I say, again, it's a character. Here is a man who could have had everything for himself. Instead, he chose to wear secondhand clothing. He never had a car. Instead, he chose to buy transportation for his members. We've always lived where our people lived in the ghetto, very humbly. And I'm not complaining. I'm happy. It's been a privilege, an absolute privilege, to live the kind of life that Jim Jones has lived. But it's not charisma. It's example. And people who have seen this example, there are lots of gathered around him that are willing to live that way in order to bring about social change.
We'll continue, and we have one open line in San Francisco at 478-3456. This is Ron Owens, and as you may know, on March 6th of the phone, line 7 in the East Bay, I'm Ron Owens on KGO, and our guests include Marcy Jones and Jim McElvain. Good evening.
Yes, good evening, Ron.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to get back to something you said earlier about what's behind the attacks, when all of a sudden the attacks came, and for years previously, including there have been, you know, positive press, there have been commendation by the San Francisco Board of Supervisors just a year ago, and I'd like to get to have these people talk about what they feel is behind the attack.
All right. That's a fair enough question. Let's go to it. I mean, I tried to ask that before, but let's get a little bit more specific. What's behind it? You see, in order for somebody to attack somebody else, logic indicates there's either personal gain, it might be monetary gain, it might be social gain, but there's a reason that somebody would want to destroy somebody else or another organization. You feel that there are people or groups or whatever out to destroy either Jim Jones or the People's Temple. Who, what, when, where, why?
Well, we can tell you the facts as we see them as they've happened.
Well, that's what I want you to do.
We'll go up to where Dennis Banks was approached by a man, and we're supposed to stay off names tonight, so I won't give a name. But the man approached him and offered him a trade, saying if he would give negative information about Jim Jones, that in turn Dennis Banks' extradition would go in his favor. But if he didn't renounce Jim Jones, then things would go badly for him.
Was this man connected with the government in any way?
He claimed to be working with agents of the government.
He claimed to be.
As far as we can tell, he was, yes.
He pressured Dennis to meet with agents of the United States Treasury that very night.
What is Dennis's involvement with the People's Temple?
Dennis is a friend of the temple.
Oh, all right. Just a friend in that sense.
A friend. He's not a member of the temple. He's with AIM.
Mm-hmm.
One of this particular person that we're talking about had a friendship with one of the people we have a suit against. And there's a connection there that our investigation is going to bring more information out of.
Well, here again, though, I mean, but what's to gain? Let us assume for a moment that Dennis Banks would have been convinced to renounce Jim Jones and say, this guy's a charlatan and he's a fraud and he's not what he appears to be. So what? I mean, what would be accomplished by that?
Well, history has proven with people like Martin Luther King, Medgar Evers, and some others, that when poor people are getting enough education, enough strength, that they might have a voice, there have been conspiracies to destroy that voice. And we believe that because Jim Jones has provided a vehicle for the poor, the minorities through which to speak, that there's a conspiracy to destroy what he's built.
And this conspiracy is directly traceable to the government, you believe?
We're not necessarily indicting the government, and I don't think it should be taken that way, but we do think that whatever agencies are involved in, whether it be people ripping open our mail and pouring alcohol on legal affidavits that have come to us, our mail ripped open at the church, who has written the post office and asked for a response and gotten none, our crates being opened on the way to Guyana, documents circulated with erroneous information about Jim Jones in it to different agencies, which have been shown to us, we can only conclude that those people involved in these agencies that are pursuing this are either seriously deceived or they're deceivers themselves.
Let's go to more phones. Line 6 in the East Bay, I'm Ron Owens on KGO. Good evening.
Yes, good evening, Ron. My name is Sandy, and I'm a member of the Temple, and I'm a deputy probation officer by profession. I'd like to say that I know personally the former members involved, and I think a bit of a perspective on these people would be helpful. These people who are starting these lives, I can say personally, many of them have advocated terrorism and violence, which I heard with my own ears, and I could take a lie detector test on that. And these people, some of them stole money from the church, child molesters, they've been in serious trouble, many times since the church, and I just wonder why no one has turned around to look at the quality of the people's lives, the character of the people who are casting these stones, these aspersions, at an organization, at a man who has worked so hard to build up over the years a humanitarian service. And I'd like to say these people threaten to blackmail us by going to various agencies with lies unless we paid them money. We gave them no money, and now they're spreading these lies. So I just would like to see some reverse, quote, investigation, unquote, and see what you uncover about the people who are these sources.
Well, the first logical thing that comes into my mind is if, in fact, that is a true story, that people are essentially, I mean, what you're talking is pure blackmail or extortion. And if that's the case, then the logical way to handle that, if you've really got a case, and you say you're a deputy probation officer, so obviously you've got familiarity with the courts, the thing to do then is simply to have a tape recorder in, call up and say, fine, the damage is being done, it's having an effect on the temple, come on in and let us talk about the offer, and maybe we can have some kind of a reconciliation, have a tape recorder going, and if in fact there are extortion demands that are being made, put them on tape. Then you can prove the charges instead of going back and forth with kind of a meringue, which is what we've got right now. Wouldn't that make more sense?
Possibility of parting of the ways. Also, we're complete, we believe in complete racial equality. A number of these people were racist, did not like the fact that Jim Jones treats everyone equal. And so again, you see a reason for a parting of the ways. Obviously, if someone stole money from the church, we see an obvious reason for their leaving.
No, I see that, but I don't understand something.
That's all.
Yeah, but Sandy, you're talking about former members of the church. Now, if you're talking about people who would be dissatisfied with something like complete racial equality, which is redundant anyway, but somebody who would be dissatisfied with racial equality, it should be fairly obvious. If you look around at the people, I mean, I've got six people in front of me, and some are white and some are black. So, I mean, you don't have to be Fellini to figure out you've got racial equality going on here. So, I mean, why would they be suddenly surprised by this?
I think it's because of the totality of Jim Jones's commitment to total equality. And that cuts through a lot of areas of people's lives.
In other words, you're saying areas that they may not have been prepared for in advance.
That's right. But I just would like to see it turned around a bit, in all fairness, and look at the people who are casting these stones. That's all.
All right, Sandy. Thank you. Any comments from anyone? Let's take some more calls then. Line 5 in the East Bay, good evening.
Yes, my name is Wendy, and I'd like to know, I don't know who's going to ask this question, but I'd like to know, how does the government of Guyana feel about the People's Temple Church, considering all the bad presses they've been in Guyana?
Wendy, that's a good question. Let's get a reaction to that.
Well, I can very quickly react that the Guyanese government has been very, very supportive of us and very helpful, and I think I can say that they've been appreciative of the example that we have set, the agricultural work that we've done down there.
Let me then ask the question, why Guyana? Why, I mean, if we want to get away from the continental U.S., why not someplace that's closer to home where people would have the ability to go back and forth, where it wouldn't be quite as remote? Why Guyana?
Well, I think there are a number of reasons for that. One, certainly it's an English-speaking country. It's a racially integrated country. It's largely black and East Indian, also white. It's a country which has a basic philosophy of cooperativism. I think it's the Cooperative Republic of Guyana, and they're trying with their government and their society to build a society much that we would feel an equitable one. And it's a wonderful thing to have someone of our members who is black to be able to visit in Guyana and come back and have said that they've never, you know, to walk the streets and not ever be called a racial slur. It's a wonderful feeling, and Jim has always I think wanted that kind of an environment, that kind of a potential for harmony and brotherhood, and in Guyana we found a very gracious reception.
But basically you could get the same thing in like the Bahamas or Bermuda. The only difference is these are countries that are certainly a little bit more, let's just say, in tune with 20th century ways. And here again, if what we are trying to do is get a lifestyle established, I mean, great, so you get Guyana to go along with it. Ideally, from the standpoint of a People's Temple or a Jim Jones or whatever, I mean, the real goal is to try and get it here in the United States, not in a country like Guyana. So would it not make more sense to be a bit closer to home? That's all I'm asking.
I don't think we look at it in the same perspective. I see that we have our goals to meet here, and we have our goals of our project in Guyana. Guyana is a third world country. It's a struggling third world country. We are exploring heavily into the area of tropical agriculture. We feel that it's one area that has not been highly developed anywhere in the world, in any large sense of the word. And to just in the idea of trying to solve some of the world's food problems, experimentation in tropical agriculture is one of the areas that can be greatly pulled upon in the future.
Did you get that new GE?
Garden, Ira, or Esther Marcy Jones, wife of Jim Jones, Jim McElvain, associate pastor of the People's Temple, and four other members of the People's Temple, all with an interest in it. If you have some questions, let's hear them. Line 5 in the East Bay, how about you?
Yes, I'd like to know from someone who's been there, what there is specifically for young adults or teenagers there to do. What is there to do in the middle of the jungle?
I would assume work, but all right. Oh, well, let's see if we get some kind of an answer.
Well, of course, we have a school that educates through high school, and so the teenagers go to school until they graduate from high school. We are developing quite a sports program. As a matter of fact, the Guyanese government is looking into our basketball team as a possible team to play in the country or even internationally. We have some very good sportsmen there. But there's all kinds of activities, dancing, music.
How long do people
art.
Usually stay when they go down there?
Well, as long as they want.
Well, no, I realize as long as they want, but I mean, what's an average tour of duty, if I can use the phrase?
This, you know, this is a little hard to answer because up until a very short period of time, we had limited numbers of people down there. The people who have been there from the inception have been there 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm. Any intention of coming back?
At this time, they don't want to come back, but I'm sure they will want to make a visit back if they don't come to stay.
I was there this summer for 1 month, and it wasn't like a tour of duty, anything like that. I was there for rest and relaxation.
Doing nothing, just enjoying. All right, line 4 in Marin County. Good evening.
Yes, hello. My name is Jean.
Yes.
And I'm calling because I, about the kind of allegation before about brainwash or whatever, and I just wanted to say that I have recently been attending People's Temple. I came with a friend of mine who's a member of People's Temple. The only time I've ever heard Jim Jones speak was on Martin Luther King Day. And I guess I'm coming because I'm interested in the work they're doing. And from what I see, there is a lot of individuality. And I can only go by what I see. And I believe in what they're doing. I'm really interested in the agricultural mission. But I don't feel that I have been brainwashed at all by listening to Jim Jones on Martin Luther King Day. That's all I want to say.
Before you hang up, one quick question. Why'd you go in the first place? What motivated you to go?
To Martin Luther King Day?
Yeah.
Oh, because a friend of mine who's a member of the temple asked me if I was interested in listening.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very
much. Good enough. Thank you. Line 3 in San Francisco. Good evening.
Yes, my name is George.
Hello, George.
I'm a political student philosopher here, and I'm an agnostic. And I have a lot of answers here for you. You were asking questions why they did this to the temple, and what for, and what else. Now, this people's temple seems to me like a Mormon temple with the trouble that they had when they first began in Salt Lake City. Now, today, there's so much competition in religion.
Whoa. Salt Lake City is where the People's Temple started?
No, that's where the Mormon Church started.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Had a lot of trouble getting started there.
Yeah.
Now, then, over here, you see, you have the People's Temple, and they were naturally chased out of the United States down into wherever it is down in South America. Now, the Jim Jones, no doubt, has been harassed here, and that's the reason he's down there. Now, he's starting it there in religion, and which he can't do here in the United States on account of the competition that there is here. Especially the, you could name a bunch of churches that, especially with the Protestants and the Catholics and what else. And that is the reason that they're down there, and they're going to establish there, just like the Mormon Church, they're going to establish there a new empire, a new religion empire, and keep on with their work over here in the United States.
George, what do you base these facts on?
What is it?
I mean, where do you get this information?
I
know you're a philosopher.
I'm a political student.
Well, you're a political student, a philosopher, but I got six People's Temple members here who are kind of shaking their heads in the same way that I am. So, I mean, their facts are. Well, I know you're an agnostic, but the point I.
Common sense.
George, you may have common sense, but what we're trying to do is deal with facts, and you're giving me a theory. Let's get a reaction. Now, hold on one moment, George. Marcy or Jim or somebody, I mean, give me some reaction to what he just said. I don't know how to react either, but go ahead. Let's see if we can get
one. I have a hard time first putting it all together, what he was saying. But,
welcome to the club.
In response to the one phrase, I do understand how they're about building an empire. I can completely deny that, and no one is trying to build an empire. We have an agricultural program going on in South America, and that's precisely what we're doing, is having a number of people work on producing an agricultural project, and certainly as an empire building, I'm sure if somebody wanted to build an empire, they wouldn't go to the middle of the jungle to do it.
George?
Yes?
Any reaction to that?
Yes. You know what an agnostic is?
Yes,
an agnostic is a man with common sense.
Oh, I didn't realize that was Webster's dictionary definition. It's funny, we have different dictionary definitions, I guess. That must be a... Line 8 in San Jose, hello there. Line 8, are you there? You're on the air, and you're going to have to talk a lot louder and a lot quicker.
All right, my name is Susan.
Yes.
I saw the other night on Channel 2 on TV, they had a march. Some of the People's Temple members were carrying signs, and something about fighting a conspiracy, and... I know you've talked a little bit about conspiracy, but I thought a conspiracy was when several people got together. In other words, just the definition of the word is that people conspire together. And so I'd like a little more comment on just what, I don't know the names of the people there, but somebody to answer, maybe Mrs. Jones, what kind of people were getting together to work against the temple? Hello?
Well, as has been said before, we aren't accusing any one group of people of getting together. We only gave instances of things that had happened to us to make us believe that there had been a conspiracy. Among those things were the tampering with our mail and the U.S. Customs seizure of our cargo, the blackmail attempt of Dennis Banks to get him to turn against Jim Jones in order to have his extradition proceedings to go in his favor. Those are the things that make us believe that there is a conspiracy to destroy what Jim Jones built.
I wonder if one thing, explaining one thing, wouldn't help a little. At the very start of all this, as a matter of fact, before the first articles came out, there was a big media supposed expose of what was called the New West break-in. And there were, night after night, there were programs on the TV and also on the radio and in the news about a so-called break-in into the offices of New West. And the implication was that People's Temple was worried about an upcoming article and would only be interested in trying to rattle their files or something, and so this was carried and given major coverage. When Jim heard about this at the time, he was already overseas to help organize the mission. He demanded the police investigation of this whole thing, and he asked that Chief Gang and his investigators get to the bottom of it, and sure enough, it turned out that there was no investigation. There was an investigation. There was no break-in at all. The only thing they could pin down was the fingerprints of an employee of New West on the window, and that it was simply somebody who maybe had been locked out trying to get in, who worked for the magazine itself. And so what we're saying is we don't understand who's doing this. But when any article or any kind of news coverage vindicating us was I'm sure nobody even knows how that was resolved. There's been hardly any publicity at all that there was no break-in whatsoever, and the People Simple had been completely exonerated of all charges.
When you start an IRA or TO 96 in the East Bay, Ron Owens with our guests, who include Marcy Jones and Jim McElvain. Good evening. Line 6. We'll go to line 4. Line 4 in Marin County. Are you there?
Hello?
Yes.
Ron?
Yes.
My name's Jim.
Hi, Jim.
I'm a member of People's Temple.
All right.
I wanted to express some comments about something that you said earlier about having read about the temple. I guess I'm not sure. I guess in the papers, things that were good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
I get the impression from what you're saying on the program that there's been a kind of an objective viewpoint of all the good things about the temple and the bad things. And I agree with some of the things that have been said tonight, that people don't get a chance to hear the specific charges that the various members of the temple that are there tonight are making. Like, I haven't seen any of these things in the Examiner or the Chronicle, and yet members of the temple were walking around Union Square over Christmas Eve and over Tuesday, Wednesday, something like that. And yet we don't hear anything about that over television or radio or the newspaper.
Well, now, wait a minute. There's a problem in that, and that the call a couple of calls ago said, as a matter of fact, they were watching Channel 2 and there was coverage of the demonstration.
Do you think, though, Ron, that there's been an equivalent amount of coverage of the points that the temple is making as compared to the...
First of all, can you talk a little louder?
Do you think that there's been an equivalent amount of coverage of the points that the members of the temple are making tonight versus the... points that other members or ex-members have made?
My fair response to that would be, based on what I have read more anti-People's Temple propaganda than pro. However, that which is, in fact, the anti-People's Temple seems to have been centered more around the personality and the actual operation of the temple by Jim Jones himself. The fact that Jim Jones is not in San Francisco to rebut those charges might indicate what you consider to be an imbalance in press coverage. Or to put it another way, if Jim Jones tomorrow said he was holding a press conference, I can assure you that there wouldn't be a radio or a television station or a newspaper that wouldn't have a reporter there.
I'm sure. I personally feel that Jim Jones ought to stay there. I don't think that if he got back here that he would get any kind of objective or fair play in the press at all. I voted for that when the congregation voted, if we thought that he should stay here or not. I think he should stay there. I was on outside the temple one night. It was 3 years ago when someone came up the driveway. It was late at night, and threw a Molotov cocktail over my head. It bounced off the wall, and by some miracle, some grace of God, I wasn't hurt at all. The thing exploded against the side of the wall, and rather than chase after the person who threw it, I elected to try and stand there and stomp it out. But you know, we've experienced a tremendous amount of harassment, and the type of coverage that we've gotten in the press and on the TV, it stimulates that kind of response.
Well, it may stimulate it, but again, and I'd be interested in getting a response from my guests here, but I have found that the type of press coverage, the anti-People's Temple coverage, centers around Jim and his operation. I think of a New West article specifically in the San Francisco Chronicle, which to me are, I would say, not necessarily the most damaging, but certainly the most accusatory in nature. And they all centered around Jim Jones, the way Jim Jones treated members of the temple, what Jim Jones did, how he ran it, where he lived before, what he did. These were the specific charges against Jim. Then Jim is no longer in the city, which only leads to more speculation that, well, there must be some truth, because if there weren't truth, why isn't he here to face the charges? That's the impression that I have gotten. And, of course, I think, in fairness, you all should have an opportunity to respond, or whoever wants to. Marcy, why don't you take it, being his wife?
Well, first of all, Jim would like to respond to these accusations. But from the very beginning, our counsel has said that he should not. I think he said that Charles Gary, a person that you have a lot of respect for, and I certainly do too, said that until he could understand more what was happening, what was behind all these accusations and this conspiracy, he did not want anyone answering the allegations. Jim would like to answer the allegations, and he's wanted to from the very beginning.
Well, if there are no legal charges pending, then there's no particular legal reason for Charles to give that advice. And I'm thinking,
well,
if Howard Hughes, who never even surfaced in person, was able to hold a press conference by means of a speakerphone, somehow Jim doesn't necessarily have to come back to the Bay Area, to the country, but he could make his way somehow to a place where he would be able to phone and have some kind of a conference.
Certainly, when Charles feels that it's the right time to do it, I know that he'll be happy.
Well, you're right in one thing. I definitely have a great deal of respect for Charles Gary. I, on the other hand, don't understand the reasons for saying he should keep quiet. I mean, if there were specific legal charges against Jim, that would be one thing. You know, obviously, then you follow your attorney's advice. You're quiet about it. But these are personal charges against him, and these are personal charges which probably would be diffused somewhat, assuming that Jim's side is the true side. Assuming for argument's sake that that is the case, it would make so much more sense to have him simply say, fine, put the charge and I'll respond to it specifically.
Of course, it's impossible for me to speak for Charles Gary, but I can only say that in the beginning, as you well know, the charges did bring about investigations from various agencies, and it was from the beginning that this kind of advice was given to us.
All right, and we'll take another call. Line 9. Nope, not line 9. How about line 3? Can we go to 3? Line 3.
Hello?
San Francisco, it's your turn. Go ahead, please.
Hello? Am I on the air?
You are.
Hello?
Well, goodbye. I'm not in the mood to play games tonight. We will have some kind of a wrap-up and let them say what they think is worthwhile as we continue, or in essence, conclude on KGO. Oh, I think we're going to do Heineken's. We're done? I can talk? Oh, I'm happy. Thank you. We've got about 3 minutes left as far as this program is concerned with People's Temple. And I think in the 4 shows we've done, we've tried to balance that opinion as much as possible. In the couple of minutes that we've got left, I think the fair thing to do would be to allow one of the people here to at least kind of summarize and express their purpose for being on tonight, what they hope to accomplish, what they want to leave the audience with. Leave it at that point.
Okay, I think the main misconception that people have been operating under is that the temple has closed down, abandoned the United States, and trucked off to Guyana. And the true facts are we're going very strong in Guyana, that's true, but we're also carrying on very strong here. None of our activities have been hampered in the least. And as far as the harassment goes, at this point, we feel that as a result of the attacks, we are, in fact, much stronger. In fact, we have several investigations going on now to get to the root of those that have begun looking into us. We have found that one person in particular who is one of the key investigators against us has a criminal record, I'd say 75 pages long, and he has contacted various people in Guyana and Washington, has contacted many of the dissenters in the organization that have gone out, and has made himself kind of ringleader of the little maybe 12 or 13 people who are heading this small conspiracy on their level. And we're doing an investigation into his activities at this point. And I guess the last thing is that Jim Jones has in no way left the fight. He's a very forthright individual, and he takes a situation on, I guess that people misinterpret it by saying he's not here. Well, he's taken on 800 people in Guyana, and he has committed himself to making sure those people will be taken care of. And faced with the fact that out of those 800 people, of the senior citizens that are there that will rightfully do their Social Security, a great number of them have had their Social Security checks withheld. And just last week we found out, for instance, that a couple of letters got down to Guyana, which was supposed to have gone to New York. I mean, to New York, and they had the little thing to go to Guyana, and then it had a little thing on it that said, stop, go to something New York, Freeze Branch, or FDBNCH, or some other coding on it. And for some reason, those checks happened to get down to Guyana to the rightful owners. And we're now investigating that, and hopefully we'll have something. For whatever reason it is, that people, because of their religious beliefs, that every person in Guyana is now restricted from Social Security.
All right, so the bottom line, the whole thing, the members of the People's Temple here tonight, which of course include Marcy Jones, the wife of Jim Jones, and Jim McElvain, associate pastor of the People's Temple, they deny all of the allegations made as far as the People's Temple is concerned. And if you are one of those people making the allegations again for the final time, I'm telling you, please write to me directly if you've had any problem getting through with relations in Guyana. I will meet with Charles Gary next week, and I'll report to the audience specifically in terms of what the results are. Thank you all.
Thank you.
KGO Weather, very book.